for all of you. And I say good morning again. And good afternoon and good evening, whatever and wherever you may be listening to this broadcast. We want to go ahead and pray with you right now. If you can bow your heads wherever you are, clear your mind. If you're not driving anywhere, focus on what that desire, that request is that you have for Jesus. As we go to the throne of grace, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this chance and opportunity right now. We thank you every time that you open our eyes, you wake us up, you give us another chance at a brand new day. Another day we've never seen before. Things that we're going to face we've never had before, that we've never faced before. Things that we have to deal with, we have to get through, we haven't dealt with before. But Father, you said that you would be with us always. That if we would cast our cares upon you, leave it to you, put it in your hands, believe you, trust you at your word. You're not a liar. You never have been. You never will be. You've always held good to your promises. And we thank you. We know that you're going to hold good to it again right now. Father, as I say, the request that I'm asking this morning, Father, that you touch the one that are bereaved, that are hurting, wounded, sad. Touch the one, Father, that are sick with illness and disease and addictions and mental illness. Father, allow your word this morning that comes through my voice as I humble myself to be used by you, that they will have ear to hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church. Father, that they don't hear my voice, but they hear your voice through my voice, speaking to them, crying out unto them that you are there for them. Father, we ask that you would comfort them, guide them, and direct them, as they would acknowledge you in all thy ways and that you would direct their paths. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you, Father. We thank you for this broadcast. We thank you for this station. Father, giving us an opportunity to be able to spread the gospel, to be able to share the good news to people, with people, for people. Father, we thank you. We glorify your holy name. We lift you up with thanksgiving and praise. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for that sacrificial love. We thank you for that abundant love. We thank you for that merciful love. We thank you, Father, for that long-suffering love. We thank you for the love that causes you to endure through all when we're not obedient to your word, when we don't hear what you say, or when we don't obey what you say, but you're still right there. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you, Jesus. We ask you to come into our hearts, come into our lives, come into our homes, come into our communities. Be with us on our jobs, in the areas of workplaces. And Father, wherever we may be, in the schools, Father, in the governments and the leaders, in every area and every aspect, let your Holy Spirit take over. Someone in these areas trust and believe you for real. Father, that you would use them and touch them in the areas where they are, that they may acknowledge you in all thy ways and you will direct their path, Father, and to do what you would have them to do. Father, you will place us, you placed us in this world to give you glory, to magnify you. And through doing so, that we would obey you. And that we would, Father, love you with all our hearts, with all our might, with all our mind, with all our soul, with every strength in our being that we have. And that we would learn in doing so, Father, that we would love you one another like we love ourselves. Treat one another the way we want to be treated, Father. Doesn't matter what sex, origin, color, race, or whatever nationality, ethnicity it may be, Father. But that we might all know that we all have to come under subjection under you, Father, and live for you, to praise you. And yes, there are requirements and there are direction. There are things that we must do to be able to come in and magnify your holy name. We just can't come to you any kind of way. The only way that we come to you that we're not understanding, or the way that we are guilty of, is for repentance and forgiveness of sins. Father, we thank you right now. Thank you right now. Thank you right now. Touch, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father, send healing. Send comfort. Send direction. Send instruction, Father, to every person, every being, everyone that you created, that you made in your image and in your likeness, and that they will open their ears and hear your voice on today and days to come. We thank you right now. We praise you forevermore. We lift you up. We magnify your holy name. We thank you and glorify you with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, we praise you and we say amen. I say amen, and all that are listening to me say amen. Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love. I thank you for your love. I give you praise right now, Jesus, because you're worthy to be praised. We as human beings are going to have to learn to serve you is not a routine thing. To serve you is to commit our lives to you seriously. And that everything else that's on our agenda is secondary. That you come first. First of everything. First of all things. No matter what it is, you come first. Father, help us to get our priorities in order. The days of evil are here. We're living in perilous and chaotic times right now. Your word spoke that these things shall come in the last and evil days. Is where we live right now. Where we live, Father, with so much hypocrisy, with so much chaos, with so much hate, with so much bitterness, with so much unforgiveness, Father. But you've given us direction. You've given us understanding. You told us what we must do. And every man that stands, that say that they are your servant, have to understand that this word that we speak all must be the same from your holy scriptures. You must have the same mind, the same understanding, and same direction. There's no difference through getting to you. You've already spoken it in Ephesians that there's only one Lord, there's only one faith, there's only one baptism. There's not five other different ways to do this. That's what your word said. Your word speaks to us, and that would it come to teach us and lead us and guide us. So we thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity again. Father, as I make ready to adhere to you to deliver your word as you choose fit, see fit. Father, I thank you right now. I humble myself before you to be used by you. That you will let your Holy Spirit speak through me now. Touch your people. Send your healing and deliverance. Father, there's so many out there that need healing and deliverance. There's so many, Father, that need to be made free. There's so many that are confused. And there's so many that are unstable in their minds. And all they need is the word of God. Father, we thank you. And we pray this thing and we ask of you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Good morning again. Praise the Lord to all. Thank God for another beautiful day that he has made. Let us rejoice, be glad, and be thankful and be glad in it. Today, I want to bring your attention into the Holy Scriptures, the word of the true and living God. Out of the book of Romans chapter 12, a lot of the scriptures that I'll use in these chapters, 12 and 13, that you heard me mention many times before. But there's a message I want to give you to think about, to look at yourself, look in the mirror, not your neighbor, but yourself in your mirror. See where you are today. With your one-on-one relationship with Jesus. Not about me judging you, because the word does that. the word does the judging. Always understand, when the word is being spoken and preached according to the Holy Scripture, it's the word that does the judging, convincing, and convicting. Not I. Men such as myself, we don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. We're only instructed to that we are sent by God to speak this word, that you might hear a word from him. So today, in the book of Romans chapter 12, I'm going to begin at verse 2, may go back to verse 1, and drop down to verse 9 here, and all of that. So here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, this verse tells us this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is it? What is it? Now I'm going to back up and read verse 1. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, a living sacrifice. That means while you're walking and alive, living sacrifice. This is not, we're not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Presented walking in holiness. Living sacrifice, holy, so it can be acceptable to God. Now this is just your reasonable service, which is your reasonable service. And that's when he come back to verse 2. Going to drop down to verse 9 and read this verse. And then I'm going back to verse 2. He said, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor which is evil, cling to what is good. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Now I want to do this again. And I want to do this and I want to read it from an Amplified version. And verse 2, because I want you to capture the essence of this message. He says, and do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually. Progressively changed is meaning as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind. How? Focusing on godly values and ethical attitude so that you may prove for yourselves. You don't have to prove to God, but this anything that we do, we are proving it for ourselves. What the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. You see, in order for us to find out what purpose that he has for us, we got to bring our bodies to him as a living sacrifice. We got to come to him through repentance. Through repentance. Becoming godly sorry. Godly sorry of the activities of the sinful nature that we've been born with. Born with this nature because it's known. It's a magnet to corruptible things of the world. It's a magnet to it. That's our sinful nature. So we can't walk in the world according to our flesh, because the only thing that we're going to fulfill is fleshly desires. But we're going to have to walk in the will in the presence of the Lord by the guidance of his Holy Spirit. The only way that can be done is that you got to become born again, a born again believer, through repentance and through baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of sin. That he might fill you with the Holy Spirit to give you guidance and direction. He told Peter and them, he told them that after I leave, I will send you a comforter. I will send you a teacher. I will send you a leader. I will send you a guider. I'm going to send you everything you need. Without it, without it, without the Holy Spirit residing in you, reminding you, making you aware of all the things that are not like God, you will fail in this walk with God, or you will fail in this walk of life. You will fail. But today I want to bring to your attention about the behavior of, we say Christians, we say Christians supposed to be Christ-like and all of that stuff. But I want to say born-again believers. There are things that you just cannot allow to happen in your life if you are a believer. If you're trusting God and you've been born again. Yes, there are ways and means of how we have to live our life. We're supposed to carry ourselves. So many times people have always said this and have torn this up in the scripture about come as you are. The scripture talking about come to the Lord as you are, he's talking about your soul, your sinful nature, not you trying to figure out where you can just come to God looking any kind of way. That clothes doesn't matter. No, clothes doesn't matter in that sense, but we're not talking about clothes when Jesus said come as you are. So even when you come into the house of God, there needs to be a respect for his presence. You just can't come in with him any kind of way, looking any kind of way, dressed any kind of way that is against his will. But he said, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Abhor, hate it. Hate it. Hallelujah. Don't hold on to it. Love is to be sincere and active, the real thing, without guile, without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Detest all ungodliness. Do not tolerate wickedness. Hold on tightly to what is good. I just read to you in the beginning that to present your body a living sacrifice. I just read to you in verse 2, it said, don't be like the world with its superficial customs, its worldly customs and values. And so many people, even people that say they're Christians, and you know, I believe something someone mentioned to me, you know, Christians, they use that term as a Christian, that they acknowledge who the Lord is. They believe who the Lord is. But let me help you with something. Yeah, that's fine. Everybody can be a Christian when they acknowledge who God is. But here's the thing. When we talk about a born-again believer, we're talking about another level in this thing. We're talking about committing your life, your everyday activity, your present health, your thought process, the love that you have committed to Jesus. And if you say you're going to be Christ-like, then the number one thing, we have to be able to forgive. We have to be able to love. So many people, I can't forgive because I can't forget it and I can't do that. No, you will never forget any hurt, anything that happened to you, or anything of that nature if you're still holding on to it and you're still reminding yourself of it and you're not allowing the healing process of the Lord through forgiveness to heal you. I've said to you many times before that the forgiveness process is not for the other person. It's for you to start the process of the healing on the inside. We've all been wounded. We've all been bruised and abused by something or someone from somewhere. But we are still required to love you one another. Love. Love one another. Love. In verse 10 of Romans 12, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. If you say you love the Lord, you say you're a Christian and serve the Lord, then you've got to abide by these directions, these instructions. There is no other exceptions. There is no excuse. It is required. It is a must to do. Must to do. You can't walk around and hurt and hate and have that and then in the same breath say that you are a believer or a Christian. Yeah, you can say you're a Christian if you're just acknowledging who Jesus is as a Savior, yes. But are you acknowledging a Christian as you practicing the two main and number one top-notch commandments to love the Lord first with all your heart, with all your might, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor, love people, in other words, like you love it. So treat them the way you want to be treated. You say, well, Pastor, people hurt you. They say things to get you. They beat on you. They bruise you and abuse you. What did he say in verse 12:1? He said, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, huh? That you got to, see, you got to be transformed, right? You got to be transformed. Do not become conformed to the world any longer with its superficial values, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually. By the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values, here it is, an ethical attitude, the right kind of attitude to deal with people, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable. Good and acceptable. Good and acceptable. And perfect in his plan. See, when you do it right, good and acceptable, which is perfect in the plan that he has for your life. For your life. And the thing of the matter is, most people, human beings, have been beguiled. Or been deceived. I've been bedazzled by the adversary and its devices of the world. Because he knows, see, the adversary knows that your flesh is weak to the things of the world, the pleasures and the desires. And so he introduces and he shows these things to cause you to be off balance and not think about the important thing in life. And that is to obey God, to obey his word, to live according to his word. See, this life of a servant, of a Christian, of a born-again believer, it go way beyond just saying that you are a Christian. It go way beyond just showing up at church on regular attendance. It go way beyond that. This thing is about being born again. This thing is about change of mind. This thing is about with a new life. This thing is about new attitude. This thing is about new direction. And this thing is about serving God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your mind, with all your strength. And this thing about, most importantly, being able to forgive ye one another no matter what. You see, Peter asked Jesus that question, and he said, how many times are we supposed to forgive our brother? 7 times? Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. Now, when Jesus says 70 times 7, he didn't give that number for you to try to multiply and see how many times that is that you are supposed to do that according to those numbers that he gave. No, he says 70 times 7, the revelation of that, that means to forgive your brother or sister, whomever it is, whomever it may be, as many times as it takes. But you say, well, Pastor, but they keep on hurting me. Well, keep on forgiving. You say, well, Pastor, they keep on abusing me, but keep on forgiving. But see, now there's a catch to that too. See, being able to forgive people and not be around those people to continue to receive the hurt is another thing as well. In other words, what I'm saying here today, when you forgive, you move on and let it go and let them go. You don't continue to entertain the things that are happening in your life so that it can continue to happen in the same way. But when you come across people that you don't see every day, and if they hurt you and wound you in any kind of way, you just forgive them and keep it moving. Amen. You forgive them. You say, well, I can't forget the hurt. No, yeah, you can forget. Let me expire this out of your mind. Yes, you can forget the hurt if you allow the process of the healing of forgiveness to work in your life. But if you haven't truly given it up and you're holding on to it tightly, no, you'll never forget it. You'll never heal. You'll never heal. So he says, be kind and affectionate to one another with brotherly love. With brotherly love. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient. Listen to what he said. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Always praying. Always repenting and always asking for forgiveness and always praying for your fellow man, your brother, your sister. Always praying for the one who hurt you. Is that what Matthew said? Matthew says that in chapter 5. Doesn't he say that? Matthew said, blessed are they who what persecute you. Pray for those who come against you, who despitefully use you. Isn't that what he said? That's what he said. And so these are the things that we say if we are believers, we're going to have to, we got to put them in our works. Isn't that right? We got to put it in our works. You got to put it in action. That's what it said. See, in Matthew chapter 5, it talks about the Beatitudes. The attitudes. And we just talked about, we just read about it, right? We read about the attitudes, the ethical attitude, the proper attitudes. Hallelujah. You see, when Jesus was on the mount, he's doing his sermon on the mount. That's when he said, when Jesus in chapter 5 of Matthew says this, 5:1, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And then he began to teach them, saying, bless, or fortunate, or happy, because that's what bless means. Bless, spiritually prosperous, happy, to be admired, are the poor in spirit, those devoid of spiritual arrogance, those who regard themselves as insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, both now and forever. He says, bless, which is forgiven, refreshed by God's grace, are those who mourn over their sins and repent, for they will be comforted when the burden of sin is lifted. So he says, blessed, inwardly, peacefully, spiritually secure, worthy of respect, are the gentle, the kind-hearted, the sweet-spirited, the self-controlled, for they will inherit the earth. He says, blessed, joyfully nourished by God's goodness, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who actively seek the right standing with God. The right standing with God, so they will be completely satisfied. And he says, blessed, which is the content sheltered by God's promises, are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. You see, that's what forgiveness is a part of, having mercy on someone so that you might be able to receive mercy. So it said, bless, anticipating God's presence, spiritually mature. I mean, you're growing up in your spiritual life. Are the pure in heart and those with integrity and moral courage and godly character, for they will see God. Blessed. Spiritually come with life, joy, and God's favor are the makers and maintainers of peace. For they will express his character and be called the sons of God. So he says, blessed, comforted by inner peace and God's love are those who are persecuted for doing which is right, which is morally right. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, both now and forever. Morally right. Doing what's right because it's the right thing to do. Hallelujah. Bless. Bless. Bless morally courageous and spiritually alive with life, joy, and God's goodness are you when people insult you. Notice that. Sometimes I'm talking about that forgiveness. There it is. When people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of your association with me, with Jesus. Living for Jesus, standing for Jesus. And the final thought, he says, be glad and exceedingly joy, for your reward in heaven is great, absolutely inexhaustible. For in this, the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So you worried about them persecuting you or hating on you? Well, they did it to me before you. That's what he says. But back in the book of Romans here, and he goes on to say it here in the book of Romans down to verse, I'm going to read it down to the 12th verse on down to the 14th verse. He says, rejoicing in hope with patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. He says in the 14th verse, he says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. And rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. We've got to stop this stuff that we're pretending or saying with our mouths that we are Christian and born again believers, but doing the opposite of what Jesus said. Got hate in your heart against someone for their size, shape, color, nationality, whatever, for what? They are human beings just like you. Angry, mad at someone, maybe because they're a little bit more fortunate or God is using them in a different way or may have more stuff or things or acquired more of substance of anything of this life and you're jealous or hatred? Come on. That's not godly character. And he's gonna judge you for it. The Bible lets us know in Revelation that that time in the day of judgment that he's going to open up two books. Two books and the book of life. And if your name is not written in the book of life, sad. That's sad news right there. And the only way that your name is going to get there is by the stuff that I'm reading to you right now, the word that I'm sharing with you right now. Right now. He continued to talk about love, love, let love be without hypocrisy. And then when I jump over to chapter 13 of Romans and look at verse 8, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Then he goes on to talk about the commandments. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love, there it is. He said, this is the main one of all. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And verse 10 says, love does no harm to a neighbor. That means people, brothers and sisters. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Let me hit you with something. Love is not running out here committing sinful acts and saying because somebody looks fine or attractive to you, and call that love. That's not love. That's lust. You see, I think I said this last week, and if I didn't, I'm going to say it today. You see, the adversary has camouflaged lust by using the word love and making people feel like whenever they use the word love to someone and they use it to get what they want out of that person, they don't love you one another because they care about the person and the way they feel or where they should not be harmed or where they should be treated. It's all about their personal motive is to get what they want out of them. And the devil is very good at disguising this thing, lust, and utilizing love in its place. You know why the devil does that? He does that because he knows that God is love. This is why I know love and lust do not sit in the same sense. It does not sit in the same factory and does not sit in the same place when it's in your life because God is love. And when God is love, then the lustful thing has to move. It's like light and darkness, where darkness can't comprehend why light outshines it. When light shows up in a room, darkness gotta leave. It's got to leave. If I'm lying, turn your lights off in your house and walk out and then turn the light switch back on. What happens? See what happens to darkness. It moves. It leaves. And Jesus and our spirituality and our life is the same thing. If you haven't been born again, if you haven't accepted Jesus, your personal Savior, and I'm not talking about because when mama them took you to church and showed you what you're supposed to do and they baptized you and did it because mama them said. No, I'm talking about a real conversion, a real convincing, a convicting. I'm talking about a born again experience that you personally made up your mind that you went to Jesus and you admitted that you was a sinner and that you needed to be changed. You need to be born again with a new mind, with a transformation of a new mind, with a new direction and a new thought and a new walk, not like this haphazardly thing that people are doing, and live and commit your life to him and serve him with all your heart, with all your might, with all your mind, with all of your strength, with everything that you got. Because everything you do in your life, he comes first. Everything else is secondary. Everything. Your job, your wife, your husband, your career, your money, your house, your whatever is secondary to Jesus. Secondary. Lord, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness is to be in right standard with Jesus, with God. So that you can know what God will is. That's what I read to you in Romans 12 here. What is that perfect will of God? What is it? The will of God for us to love you one another like we love ourselves. If you can't love your brother, your sister, you can't love God. If you can't love God, you can't love your brother, your sister. Those two come one hand in hand. You can't work without the other. And don't tell me you love someone and you're hating at the same time and you're mad and you're angry and you're brutalizing and you're taking people alive, destroying lives and all of the harm and all of the abuse that's being put on one another. But we're talking about love. Love. We're talking about love and all this hurt and pain that people are putting on each other. We're talking about love. We're still talking about love. The Bible says here in Romans 13 and 10, love does no harm to a neighbor. Let me say it to you again. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Don't do no harm. It doesn't do any harm to the neighbor. That's just it. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. It never hurts anyone. Therefore, unselfish love is the fulfillment of the law. Yeah, I love the Lord. Yeah, I love the Lord. And hurting people at the same time. At the same time, let me take you to 2 Timothy 2:16. There's another thing I want to bring out. It's your words that come out of your mouth. And here's people that practice this need to stop. They need to stop. Because all it does, it calls for more ungodliness. More ungodliness. There are things that if you practice that is not of God, and if you keep doing it, it increases in more ungodliness. More ungodliness. And we've got to understand something in talking about living for Jesus and talking about being a Christian. I'm like, oh, I believe I go to church. We ain't talking about just going to church. I'm talking about something on a whole big different level here. Way on another level. Are you with me today? Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2:16 says this. Let me get myself right here. Amen. 2:16. Hallelujah. God expresses how we should love. Hallelujah. How we should love. How we should treat one another. And the words that come out of our mouths are powerful. And we've got to understand how to handle the words. This thing is the approval of when God puts a man to carry his word or a servant to live godly before him. Here he says this in 2:16. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like a cancer. Like a cancer. Like a cancer. So if you didn't get that, let me back up to 14, verse 14 here. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. You see, my reason for bringing that out is you can't profess that you're talking about you love the Lord, you believe the Lord, and you not discipline yourself in your actions. In your actions, in the things you say, in the things you do. I've been talking about that all morning. The things you say and the things you do. Don't you understand that everything you say and everything you do is being recorded? It's being written, and it's going to come back that in judgment day that God is going to hold you accountable? We read in Romans 12, holy, a living sacrifice that's holy, holy and acceptable, holy and acceptable. So in other words, you got to live a life, woo, hallelujah, you got to live a life according to scripture and God's word that's acceptable to the Lord. You can't live any kind of way. You can't do all kind of stuff that you want to do and live any kind of way. Okay, it's time for me to show up to the Lord. But the wonderful thing about it, even if you do that, if you live long enough, the Lord is still right there to forgive you. That's the kind of grace and merciful God that he is. But what I'm trying to tell you, don't think that you can get away with any of the things that you've done, because you're still going to pay a penalty. You're going to pay a penalty for practicing or carrying those things out. And so when you practice saying stuff, you're inviting the adversary and his little buddies, the demons, to come more and more in your life and cause disruption. And cause disruption. He tells us to study the word. Study and do your best to present yourself to God approved, a workman tested by trial, who has no reason to be ashamed, but accurately handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. You see, this not only applies to the man that God is using as his vessel, but it also applies to your household as parents in the home. You got to be the one to set the foundation for your children, that they will have something to stand on, something to believe in, something to hold on to. And I'm afraid nowadays our young children are losing and have lost the foundation, because there are so many out there that are having babies and they're just getting babies, but they're not teaching them. They're not training them. They're not giving them the godly principles of the commandments. And now the world has allowed, yes, I'm talking about the world. Now the world has allowed everything that's sinful, morally, they have allowed these things to be practiced out boldly, out in the open, right before our very eyes. And they believe just because Christ hadn't returned and called his commitment and judgment yet, that they are getting away with it and that it's all right. But it is not all right. It doesn't matter how many laws that you put out there. It doesn't matter how many ways of means and reason you allow people to live in their sinful, moral ways of lifestyle. It's still wrong in God's eye. And you will never change that. You will never change that. You can never change God's word. You can never change his mind. The only thing that you can allow God to be godly and very merciful for you is through repentance that he will allow you, and that he's allowing you right now, every day you open your eyes, a chance to come to him. A chance to come to him. Study and do your best to present yourself to God approved, a workman tested by trial, who has no reason to be ashamed, accurately handling, skillfully teaching the word of truth. But avoid all irreverent babble and godless chatter with its profane, empty words, for it will lead to further ungodliness. And their teaching will spread like gangrene. It will spread like gangrene. You see, it's been done before. And so I'm here to warn you. Don't continue to live if your life is not pleasing to the Lord. Live so that you can please him and glorify his holy name. Now, that's going to take born-again experience. I want you all to understand something, brothers and sisters. It's good to go to church. It's good to be in church. It's good to be involved in church. It's good to be involved in the activities of church and all of that good stuff. But you got to take it to another level. And the next level in your life when it comes to Christ is commitment. That commitment to be born again, transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. The mind that you were born with as a baby, as a child, and grew up, that mind got to be changed. That thought process got to be changed. It's got to be changed. Because it's aligned with the sinful nature of the flesh. And so it's got to be changed. I don't care how many schools you go to and education that you obtain and a theological class that you are attended. That's got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being born again. I'm talking about commitment. I'm talking about the real deal here. I'm talking about that real deal, Holy Ghost feel, Holy Spirit guidance and direction and understanding and keeping you. I'm talking about the real deal, the commitment to Jesus until death and loving you one another, no matter how much hurt they put on you, bearing witness towards each other, no matter what people have said and done to you, being able to share love even in the midst of all the chaos and everything that's going on. We're talking about a real love on a whole nother level here. We're not talking about lust. Lust is what your eyes see and what your flesh desires. But love bears the fruit of the spirits. You can check it out in Galatians chapter 5. And you will find out about the works of the flesh. And you will find out the works of the spirit. And love comes by the works of the spirit. Not the flesh. Let's get it right. They singing all these love songs. Got nothing to do with this real spiritual love that they singing about. Like I told you. They got the word love disguising, camouflaging lust. Because see, when love is working, and godly love is working, when godly love is working, it doesn't matter what a person looks like, where they come from, who they are, how they speak, you're going to love them. Now, I know what's thinking in the back of your mind, and let me tell you something. Now, this statement, when you say love people, no matter who they are, where they come from, this doesn't mean this allows people to practice immoral, sinful practices in their life that it's okay. No, that's not what that means. Not what that means. I know what's in people's mind and say, well, if I'm this way and I'm that way, then you're supposed to love me. Yeah, that love that I'm talking about is supposed to draw you to Christ unto repentance. That's the love I'm talking about. That's the love I'm talking about. I want to leave that with you. the behavior of a Christian, a born believer, born again believer. Look in the mirror. Ask yourself, which one am I? Have I committed my life to Jesus? Have I committed my life to Jesus? Am I just going through the motion? And I just going to church. Don't you just get tired of just going to church if there's nothing happening? And then when there's nothing happening, ask yourself, what, why is nothing happening? Is it me? Is it the preacher? Or is it just, it's just something wrong with me that I haven't given up? You got to check yourself. Get in the mirror and go down the checklist and find out in God's word, according to his word and his command, and see where you fit. I ain't say what Sister Sue and Joe and all that. I'm talking about you, where you fit, where you line up at. And don't let this, and don't let the adversary get in your ear talking about, oh, you all right, you got time, everything is okay. No, that's a deception. But we're talking about committing to Christ and loving him with all your heart, with all your might, with all your mind, with all your strength. I'm going to pray with you today. We pray that the Holy Spirit would come, tear down these yokes, break down these chains of sinful slavery. Jesus have already shed his blood to choose that that blood would cover us and free us from sinful slavery. Father, in the name of Jesus, there's somebody out there right now really ready to commit their life to you. You know who they are. I don't know who they are. And there are someone out there that are listening that have been battling in their mind about which way to go, what to do. Now you have the answer. The answer is to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Turn from your wicked ways and pray. Repent. Pray, ask for forgiveness of sin. Father, we thank you. Someone hear that right now, and they need you, Lord. Let this message go all across the airways, touch hearts and minds that will convict them to be changed and not be satisfied with where they are and the lifestyle that they're leading. And I'm talking about people in the churches all the way out into the world. Touch somebody, Father, so they can see themselves and find out whether they've been living a hypocritical life or a genuine, holy, and acceptable sacrificial life for you. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this message. Touch right now by your only one and only, most of all, oh gracious Holy Spirit and power, that you would change somebody right now in the sound of this message. And whenever the message is going across, it's either that you would touch me, walk through me, talk through me, speak through me, that they hear your voice and not my voice, but your voice through my voice, that they will adhere to this word. We praise you. We thank you forevermore, Jesus. You've done it all already. The plan has already been laid. The stage has already been set. And now it is up for us to seek you and to commit to you. We praise you. We thank you right now. We glorify you in your holy name. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We pray that that prayer reaches you for your life. May God bless you and the peace of God be with you. Selah.
You've been listening to the broadcast of Focus to Change Ministries.